Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the gospel of our Lord. As we begin this morning, would you just take a moment to pray for three things real quickly? Would you pray for me as I deliver this message? Would you pray for yourself that you may hear whatever it is that God is speaking to you this morning? And lastly, would you pick somebody in the congregation to pray for as well, that they too might hear what God has in store for them? Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I mentioned earlier during the announcements that today is Trinity Sunday. It's the Sunday that the church year has dedicated specifically for us to talk about this great mystery of the Trinity, which we make mention of every week, but we don't always take time to talk about what that means. It's also a day that on Facebook you'll notice preachers posting pictures of cats and different memes to try to distract from any heresies that they may have spoken during their sermon. So we're going to do our best today to not commit any heresies. But it's always tricky when you get with something as mysterious as the Trinity, where really we're able to say what the Trinity is not. But to sometimes say what the Trinity is, we can only go so far before we just have to experience who God is, the three in one, the one in three. And so although today is specifically set aside to talk about the Trinity, we talk about the Trinity every week. When we say God, we mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we say God, we are speaking of a triune God. We often close our prayers with "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," or with one, or who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We tend to end our prayers in a Trinitarian manner. Every week we sing a doxology, whether it's the doxology that we've been singing, or whether it's the glory be to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and evermore shall be, world without end. Amen. So we talk about the Trinity, and we mention the Trinity every week, but it's one of those things in the Christian faith that we, until we get to heaven, I don't think any of us will ever be able to talk about it all that well. Because the Trinity is one of those great mysteries of our faith. That's one of the joys of being Christian, is we have a lot of mysteries. There's a lot of things that we cannot explain. We can only confess. We confess that God is triune, that God is three in one and one in three. We can't solve that mystery, but we can experience it, and we can know that it's true, and we can be invited to experience God as triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This idea of confessing the Trinity, there's a hymn that I believe it's a Lutheran hymn, if I recall correctly, called Holy God, We Praise Your Name. And the last stanza says, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, three we name you, though in essence only one, undivided God, we claim you. Then adoring, bend the knee and confess the mystery. We are a confessing people. I could have put that as today's sermon title, that we will always confess more than we can explain. I cannot tell you how Jesus Christ was both fully man and fully God, but he was. I cannot tell you how death has died, but death has died through the resurrection of Christ. I cannot tell you how God is somehow three but one and one but three. I was never very good at math. I can't tell you how that works. But we confess this faith. We confess this holy mystery. Again, we cannot explain it, but we can experience it nonetheless. And really, I don't think it's a bad thing that we can't fully explain the Trinity. I think if we could fully explain God, God wouldn't be very much of a God, would he? I think of a quote by St. Augustine who, paraphrasing it a bit, basically said, if God is an ocean, I can understand a cupful. And so it's not bad that we can't explain everything that we confess, everything that we believe in, because we'll always confess more. We'll always say more about who God is than we could ever explain. We can't explain how all this is all the time. We can just invite people in to experience it. And it's not a bad thing that we can't explain everything, or that we have questions, or we don't know how everything works. This isn't new to us. We're not the only ones. We even see it with Nicodemus here in John's Gospel. Nicodemus, who is a teacher of the law, who is a teacher of Israel, who is one that is supposed to know things, this well-educated man comes in the middle of the night to find Jesus to ask him a bunch of questions of how can this be? How is this? How can these things be possible? I don't understand. And it was during this time of questions, these how can this be? How is this possible? I don't understand this, that we hear what is one of, if not the most famous verses in all of human history from the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. That comes out of Nicodemus's questions, this response from Christ. You'll notice it's not for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever can explain him may not perish but have everlasting life. It's whosoever believes and whosoever confesses. We don't have to explain everything, but we need to take part of it. And so we're invited into this mystery and into this belief of the Trinity. God, who is three in one and one in three, this divine community, which is indeed a community, but is also somehow one. And so there are lots of things that we can say the Trinity is not. There have been many heresies that have been marked because of people trying to explain the Trinity. Partialism. God is like an egg. The white, the yellow, and the shell. That's dividing God into three different pieces. God is a father, and then God is a husband, and then God is a brother type. You know, how somebody could describe me, using that to try to describe God, and the church father said, no, that's modalism. There's a video on YouTube, if you've not seen it, just type in, that's modalism, and a video will come up of St. Patrick and Donald and Connell, two little figures, and they go through about what the Trinity is not, and it names all these different things, and it's a really fun little video. And so throughout church history, we've been able to say a lot of what the Trinity is not. But I want to read something that the church has said what the Trinity is. And I might need to catch my breath because this is a lot. But this is one of the creeds that we as Christians confess. And this is probably the most precise way of describing the Trinity that anybody has come up with. So I'm just giving you that warning in preparation now. This comes from the Athanasian Creed. We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the essence. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal and the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Ghost uncreated. The Father unlimited, the Son unlimited, and the Holy Ghost unlimited. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but only one uncreated and one infinite. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet they are not three gods. There's a lot, I lost my place. There we go. They are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the Christian religion to say there are three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made, nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one God, not three fathers. So there is one Father, not three fathers. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal. So that in all things, as foresaid, the unity in Trinity and Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved, let him thus think of the Trinity. And that's only about half of that actual creed. So that's what we can say about the Trinity, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the Father is not the Son nor the Holy Spirit, that the Son is not the Father nor the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is not the Father nor the Son, but somehow they are one God. That gets really confusing. But it's a part of what we confess. And that was a really long-winded way of saying who the Trinity is. So the church over the years and over the centuries have come to use a slightly shorter term than those two or three paragraphs I read. And they use a word, perichoresis. Now, I think most of you have heard this as I preached on this last year as well. But perichoresis is the Greek word for dance. And now I know at least some of us here have been Nazarenes our whole life. And as Nazarenes, we know that Nazarenes don't dance. Although they actually took that out of the manual, and beforehand it was to use good conscience in dancing. So it's kind of weird to be a Nazarene preacher using the word dance, or to say that we as the church are a dancing people. But that is what the church has used to describe the Trinity, this what we're invited into, this divine dance. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit almost in a dance with one another, the way they relate to one another and intermingle with one another. And so there's a song that came out a few years ago that I always thought would make a great sermon illustration, but I never really had a good opportunity to use it. And I realized I could have used it last year, but by the time I remembered, service had already been over. So I wanted to make sure that I used it this year. Because the first time I heard it, I thought, man, that is a great theological song. It's by a band called Walk the Moon. These are the lyrics. And some of the lyrics are, they're not bad words, but it's a word that I would tell Damien, my nephew, not to use. So it says, shut up. But we'll work through that. And so the lyric says this: she took my arm. I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, oh, shut up and dance with me. And the first time I heard that song, I thought, if that's not a great way to describe the Trinity, I don't know what is. If that's not a great way to describe perichoresis, this divine dance. One of my friends joked when I talked about using this song. They're like, yeah, the gospel according to Walk the Moon. And I was like, well, really, this song can do that. Well, see, it has mystery. She took my arm. I don't know how it happened. We've got that mystery portion. We've got an invitation to join into the dance of God, to join into the community of God and into God's movement. Come and dance with me. Don't you dare look back. Keep your eyes on me. How many times has God said that to you and I? At least to me, I know he has said that multiple times. Don't you dare look back. Keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. Sometimes we want more from God and we feel like God might be holding something back from us. And then God says, be still and know that I am God. Or as Walk the Moon might say, shut up and dance with me. God is telling us to be still and know that he is God and to come into this divine dance and this divine community and take part and just experience who God is and be a part of God's community. Jesus invited Nicodemus to be quiet, to take his hand, and to dance in this divine dance of the mystery of faith that we cannot explain, but we can definitely experience, that we can definitely know who God is. If you guys would go to the picture I have up, this is a visual image for those that are better at visualizing things than hearing things. I'm a visual learner, so I always like to have images that help me as well. This is an icon by a guy named Andre Rublev. He wrote it back in the 1400s. And it's what he used to depict the Trinity. These three people, they're all identical, but they're also slightly different. That's part of how he used to describe the Trinity. But the main reason I show this is, so it's kind of hard to see in this screen, but do you see this right here? A small square on the table. And I think I mentioned this last year. I'll probably mention this every year. It's one of my favorite things. On that little square was goop. They weren't really sure what it was until years and years later they were able to have it tested. And what that little square on the table is glue. And so the current theory, and the theory that I believe is correct, is that where that glue was, there was a mirror glued there. So that as one would to approach the wall in which this was painted on, they would see themselves coming to sit at the table of God, coming to sit at the divine community. The church, using the Greek language, says perichoresis, that dance of inviting it in. Andre Rublev used a table to show us, and a mirror to show us being invited in to sit at the community of God. We are invited to participate in the community of God. This is what Jesus did to Nicodemus. He invited him into a deeper, more robust relationship, into the divine dance, into the divine community. Like him, we too are to respond to that invitation to the dance, to come to the table. Like we heard from the Isaiah passage this morning, when God says, "Whom shall I send?" we are to respond, "Send me." Because it's not only a dance for us, it's a dance that we invite others to come into as well. As God sent Christ to invite us into the dance, so we are to be sent into the world to invite others to this dance. We, as the church, are a dancing people, a people that are a part of the community of God. This God that is the triune God of all creation invites us into his very life. And we are people that then go out and invite other people into this life as well, to enjoy God and to enjoy God forever and ever. And so as we invite others into this dance, we may hear people wonder what God is trying to say to them. What would God want to do with them? At least I know that's what some of my friends have talked about, is what could God want to do with me? Why would God want me? To which I think we could quote another song that I think most of us probably know in describing what God is saying to the world. I think when we invite people into the community of God, this is what God is saying to them. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody. Yeah, I want to dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me. We talked about the gospel according to Walk the Moon. I figured we should talk about the gospel according to Whitney Houston as well. God wants to dance with us. God wants us in his community. But it's not just us. We are to go and dance into the streets so that others may join our dance. Like the last verse of today's gospel passage says, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Would you pray with me? Father, you sent your word to bring us truth and your spirit to make us holy. Through them, we come to know the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons. You reveal yourself in the depths of our being by proclaiming and living our faith in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.